All right, the title of my message, we've been talking about resisting over the last couple of weeks, and this morning's title of my message is Strength to Resist. Strength to Resist. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it brings life to us. We thank you, God, that brings direction to us. And so, Father, I pray that you would do those things. God, would you give not just information, but would you give revelation to our hearts, not just mental assent knowledge, but God, a revelation knowledge that we can live it out and walk in faith with it. God, we thank you for it. We thank you that you're with us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Just take a moment. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to speak to us this morning. Give us instruction and direction in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right. So over the past few weeks, you know how I always do a review. So we'll quickly do a review of the last few weeks. I called it in my notes. We are kind of, God is kind of taking us. I really didn't know where we were going with this whole series. Many times God gives me the whole series. And then sometimes he just says this message. And I went, oh, there's a series in this. I see. So that's kind of the way we've been doing it. It seems like the Lord is bringing us on a journey of resisting and how to resist and how to, what things to resist. Like, I don't resist my spouse, right? We don't do that. But we have this resisting. And really the idea and the word that we've kind of come up with and talked about, and if you've missed the last few weeks, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the last few weeks. Because this word subpar living can have different definitions. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to what some of the things that we're talking about. We'll get a little bit of that this morning as well. But we said at the very beginning that in order for us to live the life that God's intended us to live, a not subpar life, that the first thing you have to do is you have to know that you are loved by God. That the scripture says that we are rooted and firmly established in the love of God. And let me just say, that is the baseline for everything that we have taught thus far. So the love of God is going to be the driving force, if you will, that will encourage us and build us and lets us know and gives us the strength that even though when we fail, God is still with us and he wants to help us and encourage us along. Because that word love is not just, it's a love that means that it is no matter what, God still loves us and pursues us. Isn't that good? Next thing we said, we said, you have to have hope. You have to have hope that this is not going to be the way it's always going to be. That is not the Bible. The Bible is a book of hope that things can change. The gospel is a gospel of hope that things can change and be different. That you are not locked in to where you are at in your life. That things don't have to be always the same. And that's hope. That just that nugget of hope will get you to a place, to the next place that you need to go. And then we talked about that you must know who you are. You must know that you are in right standing with God, not because of your own works, but because of the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. He provided us righteousness, as the scripture says. And that's simply that we have a good position with God, regardless of what we've done. It's his goodness, right? And so we talked about that you had a seat, right? You've been seated with Christ. We've been all over, in this message, we've been all over the book of Ephesians. Actually, this whole message has been a study of the book of Ephesians. And actually, we're just going to keep going through this book. It's so powerful. We said that we were seated with Christ, high above all other principalities and powers and might. You are seated with Christ. And we said this, we made this statement, that whether you take that seat of where you're seated or not is up to us. Well, we by faith sit at that place. Sometimes we don't sit at the place that God's called us, and we allow circumstances and difficulties to overpower us, and we just live there in our difficulties. And God's not called us. Matter of fact, we said this last week, that God's called you to resist. Resist. Right? It doesn't say submit yourself to the enemy. It says submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee, right? So we are to submit ourselves first to God and then resist. We live in a, and even in the Ephesians prayers, the two prayers in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, it's all vocalizing words of resistance. It's not that you just don't live where you're at, right? We talked about, let me just say back again, we talked about these Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, that these things come not through natural understanding. Like if you try to grasp all these things with your natural understanding, you're not going to get it. It takes revelation, and that is simply this. Revelation is just not an end of the book of the Bible, right? It is a divinely inspired understanding of what God has done for us. And it only comes by the Spirit of God. It's not like, let me just help you. Don't get so upset with people who don't know Jesus. Right? It's okay. It's all right. It takes revelation. It takes something that's birthed by the Spirit of God in us to understand and comprehend. And not only that, more importantly, to live out. It takes revelation. So we made some hard statements, and I'll just read these hard statements. So what are we to resist? We tried to make it clear last week. And we came up with this statement. We said, is it okay that? Is it okay that? And we said this. So is it okay that, to kind of understand where we're talking about subpar living, is it okay that I never have enough? Is that okay with us? Is it okay that we avoid, I say we, because I want to clear, I don't want to say you, that we avoid social interactions? Is that okay? Is that the way we want to live? Is it okay that I live with anxiety? Is that okay? Is it okay? Is it okay? Then we got meddling. Is it okay that my relationship with my spouse is subpar? That we can't have agreements without arguing and yelling? I mean, Julie admitted to everybody just this morning in the healing class that we had a fight yesterday. It was amazing. I mean, not the fight wasn't amazing. It just gets real right there in the car. Yes, we had a conversation with intensity and passion. Yeah. Is it okay? How about this one? This one's kind of, it kind of sneaks up on us. Is it okay that we can't comfortably say kind things to one another? That I can't give compliments and loving compliments to one another? Is it okay that you refer to your spouse as your third child? I like the, that was funny. Moving right along. Is it okay that you can't help but gossip and tear down other people when they're not around? Is it okay that you live there? And that's what we do. Is it, we just got messy last week. I was feeling spicy. Is it okay that we were lazy? Is it okay that you're lazy? Is it okay that you're constantly tired? And that's just, you've just agreed with that. And that's just the way I am. And is it okay that your health is constantly an issue? Is it okay that you get angry at times and you're just okay with that? It's just how I am and people just need to deal with me. Is it okay that you're uptight and you're nervous all the time? So these are the things that we talked about. Is it okay if you have an addiction and you're just like, I'm just kind of, just kind of do this. It's just kind of what I do and God understands. Is that okay? Is that abundant life living? So these are things that can be subtle, but if we don't resist them, they just become a part of who we are. And let me just say, if it's a part of who we are, then it's not just, it's part of this word that we use, it's agreement. I've made an agreement with the enemy that this is just the way my life is going to be, right? So quickly, let me clear up something that I said last week, that Eric was so gracious to come up and talk about. When we talk about these issues, when we talk about mental illness issues, I want to be really clear with what we talk about. When we talk, because there needs to be a balance of walking through these struggles and having these struggles become part of our identity. That is a vast difference. So I use the word, we coddle people with mental, I did not understand that the idea is that we don't allow that to be part. This is an enemy of mine trying to encroach into my life. These mental illness things are like these anxiety and depression things are just things that are encroached into our lives and should be considered an enemy of ours. And we don't have to just live with it. It can be an enemy that we fight. Resist that thing. Amen? And when it comes on you, when depression feels like it's coming in like a flood over your life, you feel like you can't understand. Yeah, in the moment, it's like you feel like you have no... Jessica was so good. We were talking about this. The thing about depression is the thing that you need to do is what's robbed from you. The thing that you need strength to resist. When you're battling depression, that all seems so far from where you're at. And actually, so in the next couple of weeks, when we talk about our interpersonal relationships with each other, that becomes so vital in our help to get out of these things. Amen. Because, and so I just want to make myself clear that I used some harsh things. But understand, like, there has got to be in that, though, there has to be an attitude of resistance. Resist it. Don't allow it. Jessica said it this way when we were talking about it this week. She said, it's no quarter. No quarter, meaning it's not allowed to live with me. It can come, it may come visit, but it's not allowed to live with me. Right? Amen? Amen. And we do that over. And let me just say, even in my story, and one day I'll tell you my whole story, but in my story of addiction and all the kind of stuff that I went through in different areas of my life, understand, and let me make it very clear, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. Right. My story was intense, intensity, but I also went to 2 years of counseling. Right. I went to 2 years. Let me just say this, of godly counseling. Let me just be really clear. Please go to godly counseling. Understand there is a philosophy out there in this world that's ungodly. But on the other side, don't go to counselors that just say you just need to pray more. Have counselors who understand mental illness. Have counselors who understand some of these things and use godly principles, right, to get out of these things. Amen? If your counselor goes against the word of God, you need to find another counselor. All right, amen. All right, so that's it. Nope. Okay. Amen? We're good? We're good. So, all right, let's move on. Ephesians, we're actually going to jump ahead. We're in Ephesians 1 through 3. We're actually going to jump ahead to Ephesians 6 this morning, and we're going to just dive right into it. Here we go. All right. Oh, yeah, all the charismatics said, amen, Pastor. And next week, when we talk about, what we talk about next week, it all works together. The word of God is truth. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 starting in verse 9, it says, finally be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. Come on. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. How many of you know the devil has schemes? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, your wife, your coworker, your counselor, your counselor. The counselor that's telling you things you don't want to hear. the pastor. Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to be good right now. I'm just not saying the thing. Understand, that means all flesh and blood. People. Your struggle is not against people. People. But against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. In other words, demons. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to what? Resist in the evil day, having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth, like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest. We've talked about these things. Knowing who you are in Jesus, let it be a thing around the chest, actually, that protects your heart. righteousness around your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness, because we all wear sandals, save with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And in every situation, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. And stay alert. Hear that? Stay alert. With all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Notice right out of the gate, when Rachel came, she gave me that word where her and Nick were kind of feeling that thing, says, hey, this is not of our strength, but it's a strength that God gives us. I was like, I actually pulled out my notes. I'm like, I want you to read. These are my notes. Right out of the gate in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, be strengthened in the Lord. This is the power that is supernatural strength, not natural strength. Be strengthened in the power of the Lord. Actually, to be strengthened is actually the word that means like to be endued with power, right? So that if I have something that somebody else doesn't have, I give what I have to them. To be strengthened is to receive from somebody else that which you don't already have. So you're strengthened. He is giving you strength. He is giving you his power. He says that you should be strengthened in the Lord, not in your own power. Not in your own power. Paul says before we get to all this armor of God stuff, don't forget where the power comes from. Don't forget who the power giver is. I've heard so many teachings. How many of y'all have been in church long enough? You've heard like 16,000 preachings on the armor of God. And if you haven't, if you're new to church and church world, just hang around. You'll hear 1,000 more. Because, man, this scripture, man, this, it's good. Oh, yeah, it's good. It's really good. This is, you know why they preach it so much? It's good. And it's powerful. And if we operate it, but man, I hear all the time, you know what? When I get up in the morning, I put my helmet of salvation on. And it's all good. Do it. If that's what does it, do it. But understand, it's not in the illustrations. It's in the power of God. All these illustrations are illustrations of the power of God working in your life. It's not just this symbolic thing. Matter of fact, if you go, quite honestly, let me mess your whole world up. Go to some other Paul's writings, and he uses some of the same illustrations, and he uses different words that go with those illustrations. Yeah, I just messed your whole armor of God, whole world up, didn't I? Yeah, that's right. Armor of God, VBS, I just messed it all up. But understand, it's the power of God. That's what Paul is trying to say. It's not by your own strength that you're going to resist the devil, resist the evil one. So the question is, what do we really, really? Okay, step out of your, let's pretend that we were just, I don't know, sitting around campfire talking. And we were talking about what we really put our strength in. Take all of our church stuff off and our amens off. Yeah, we're sitting around a poker table watching Jessica go all in again for like 20th time. It's all for charity. And to teach us how to walk in forgiveness. Okay. Think about the solutions that you have for your own issues. And they may sound like this. Well, if I just got more sleep. What I really just need is I just need more sleep. Or if I just got a new job, then my whole life would be better. If I got counseling, what I really need to do, I just need to go get counseling. Or how about this one? I just need a vacation. Because if I went on vacation, like it's like a good drink, like all your problems are all gone after your drink, right? Oh, all their problems are still there after your vacation. I just need to get away. I just need to get away. You know what? If I just ate better. So I'm going to go all in on my diet. My diet is that's just it. Some of y'all are going to really love this one. If I just had some time alone. These kids are driving. Yes, amen. Amen. Hey, and sometimes when you're empty nesters and you don't have all the children running around, you still go, I just had some time alone. Oh, amen. Amen. Or Mike, what, yes, I hear you. Or if I just run up, some of us are like, if I just run away from it all, if I were just to move to another state, I can get a fresh start. You know, the problem with the fresh start of moving away is you follow yourself. If I could just find a new church. The problem is, like, you find that a new church with you in it. If I just had some more new medication. But let me just say, I am actually for all of those things. I think you should probably do all of those things if you need to. There would be a great... Except for leave and run away and all of those are not in my notes. Just the things that are in my notes. All these things would be a great addition. So let me ask you this. Where is God in your solution equation? Where is God in your solution equation? Because many times we rely on so much of this natural stuff that God's not even in the equation. Yeah, you probably need more sleep. We all probably need more sleep. We probably all need to not, you know, look at the blue screen right before we go to sleep. Like that probably is a thing for all of us, right? We probably all need some time alone. Totally get it. We probably all need... What else is on my list? We all probably need, the first thing I saw on the thing was counseling. We really all need counseling. After these last 2-3 years, we probably all need counseling. No, I'm not even kidding. I say there's a whole book on it, if you want to. We're actually, as a staff, reading the book Resilient. I highly, highly recommend. Talk about a prophetic book for a time. That book Resilient by John Eldridge is a powerful, powerful book. I say do all of these things. But if God's not in your equation, could it be that you feel like abandoned by Him? Like He is part of your solution. Look at that scripture again in verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. There is strength available for you. Endurance is built into this gospel message. Things that you're unable to do, God works in and through you in those circumstances. My thing is, if your only solution is medication, I think you're off. If your only solution is I just need more sleep, that's wonderful for people that don't follow God. I guess, but not for us who profess faith in Christ. We have ability. And then here's the rub about this strength, is no one can get it for you. You have to receive it for yourself. You have to receive it for yourself. You have to position yourself to receive it. For your own self. There's amazing scripture where Jesus is talking about the end times, and he's talking about the women, the 10 virgins, right? With the lamps. Remember that? I forgot how many fell asleep. I think it's in my notes. But a bunch of them fell asleep, right? And they talk about Jesus says, hey, whenever the idea was a lamp, as long as your lamps were lit, you know, when the when the guy comes back, right? You'll be ready, right? And then there's this wild thing. It says some of these people fell asleep. Some of these women fell asleep. And when they woke up, they're, hey, the bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom's coming. You better wake up, wake up. And all their lamp was out. And they looked. Here's the rub. They looked at the other women and said, hey, will you let us, can we have some of your oil? Can we have some of your oil? And basically said, go buy your own. Go get your own. Your oil and the oil throughout the Old and New Testament has to do with the presence of God and the power of God. Those ladies were like, hey, you got to go get your own. I can't give you what I earned. The power of God, the strength of God comes because you pay the price to receive. Julie has this phrase that she uses all the time. And if you've ever gotten an email from her, sometimes this is on the bottom of her email. It said, you are as close to God as you choose to be. As you choose to be. As you choose to be. We talk about, let me speak to all of my charismatic brothers and sisters. Your power of God, your anointing, cannot be received by somebody else. It comes from your relationship with Him in your private quiet time. You seeking after the Lord, you receiving it from, you humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God and He raising you up. It comes because you seek it out. The power is not. That's why for so many years, the prayer lines were all great. Those, we saw healings, we saw people getting delivered, and we saw all these things happen. But what we forgot to tell people is you have to go back and do some stuff on your own. Be careful, Jesus said, or something worse will come on you. Like, it is our responsibility. And listen, in this time, where we all talk about how the world is crazy. Donna and I had a great meeting this week, and we talked about like some of the stuff. And we just, like, as believers, we just go, oh my God, like, I can't. Like, especially some of us as people have been around for a while. We've watched some changes in our culture. And so some of you younger have a little bit of grace for us as we process what's going on. Because it's vastly different. But the answer is not found in other things. The answer is found in the power of God in you. In you. We're all dealing with stuff. But the power, understand, as you seek the Lord, and as you walk with the Lord longer, and longer, and over the years, understand some of these things, like walking in forgiveness, actually get easier. I'm not even kidding. Some of you guys who have been walking with the Lord, you can attest to that. They get easier as we continually press into God, right? Some of these things, like even walking in some faith, I've seen God move. I have testimonies of God's faithfulness and moving in my life. So there's a level of faith that I walk in that many people don't, because they haven't seen what I've seen. I get that. But I couldn't get that from anybody else. That's my story and my walk with God. You're, quoting my wife, you're as close to God as you choose to be. And in this hour, if you want to overcome and walk in victory, and walk in above the circumstances, and no matter who's in office, no matter who's in control, quote unquote, who we think is in control, we all know who's really in control, is if I walk by faith, not by sight. I walk by the strength of God that resides on the inside of me. That's how I walk. That's how I live. And it's up to us to get it. So why? Why does Paul say put on these? I'm not even really going to get into all the armor. Sorry, this morning. Go back and find somebody else who preached on all the individual aspects of the armor. What I want to illustrate is a couple of things. I want to know that you have to be strengthened by the Lord. The second thing is that why do you need the armor? He tells us why we need the armor. Because there are demonic forces in this world that try to seek and do the enemy's desires and push forward his agenda. And if this is new for you, maybe these demonic things have been an ethereal kind of thing, and you've gone, oh yeah, we don't know, man, the church I went to before, we didn't really talk about these things. Well, we were going to talk about them. Because in our world, we wrestle, we fight against principalities and powers of the unseen realm. Those little voices in your head that say, you'll never get over this. This is the way it will always be. You know they're really out to get you. You really have no support. You'll be like this forever. You know, granddad was an alcoholic. Dad was an alcoholic. Now you're an alcoholic. It's just the way things are in my family. Those are demonic voices that speak into your mind and into your heart. And if we allow them, they become part of us. And if we say, that's just the way I am, what we just did was agree with a demonic voice that spoke these lies, and now I agree with them. And you can't get free of something you're in agreement with. You'll never get free. One of the things that we do in our prayer rooms up in our other building is we help people identify the lie. Because if I can identify the lie, the enemy's on shaky grounds. It's the first step of him being gone. Right? You know, I thought about this. How many of y'all saw the Elvis movie? Anybody seen the Elvis movie? Oh, man. Man. Oh, my gosh. So good. So good. And so troubling. All at the same time. You're like, oh, I'm like for this guy, Elvis. And no, it's like moron manager is always in the background. Elvis is like, hey, I want to go on world tour. And the manager's like, no, we're not going to go on world tour. Matter of fact, I'm going to sign you to 15 years in Vegas. Sounds like a prison sentence. Right? Little did Elvis know that he wasn't really an American citizen. He didn't have a passport. He couldn't travel. So he couldn't do a world tour with Elvis. So Elvis was, watch this, latched to him and allowed this manager to sentence him to his doom in Vegas for all those years. Although he did produce some really good albums while he was in Vegas, I will say that. But that's not what he wanted. Elvis actually had bigger dreams than what his manager wanted him to do. If you watch the movie, fascinating movie, really depressing, but fascinating. By the way, the guy who did Elvis, Oscar, yes, Oscar, thank you very much. It's fixed if he doesn't get an Oscar. In my opinion, it's always fixed when people don't get Oscars. But anyway, moving right along. So what was I saying? Chain, agreement, tied to the enemy's voice in Elvis's life. We'll just use that. So many of us are tied down to a contract that we made with the manager that's managing our life, and we need to break up with that manager and go find another manager that tells us very different things and gives us more freedom than we could ever hope for. He says, matter of fact, I want to get hooked up with the manager that it talks about in Revelation chapter 5. He said, one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Look, the lion of from the tribe of Judah, the root of David has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. It says, the Bible says, the lion, he's talking about Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Notice that he didn't say the mouse of the tribe of Judah. Notice that he didn't say the squirrel of the tribe of Judah. He says, watch this. He says, the lion. Let me get my mic. Hang on. The lion of the tribe of Judah, not the lion who just said, No, the lion who roars. I remember we were if some of you have heard this story before, we were in a zoo up in Nashville, Julie and I, and my sister and my brother-in-law. And while we were there, I walked over to the lion. And the lion there was about from me to that chair and a chain link fence. That's the only thing separating. And a little bit of barbed wire. And I walked up to this lioness. And she was, I heard her breathing. Have you ever heard a lion? Have you ever been like 2 feet from a lion? You've heard this before. so many of us. But I could hear the lioness was breathing like this. And it was like, and his paws are like this big around. And I called my brother-in-law. I said, come here, you got to see it. My sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. I said, you guys got to come over here and look at it. They walked up. We could hear it. Just this voice of power, right? And then this is, as God and Julie, as my witness, I said, Julie, God said, you got to come see this. This lion is like right here. She walks over. I don't know what that lioness, what that problem with the lot with my wife, that lioness had. But no lie, my wife walked over. She stood there and bent down like this. That lioness jumped up on all fours and went, roar! Every hair on my whole stood up. Fear gripped me like never before because I had just heard a lion roar at me and at my wife. You know, the old adage is I don't have to be as fast as a lion. I just got to be faster than everybody else. Oops, sorry. I didn't really like my brother-in-law anyway. Just kidding. But what I'm saying is, it wasn't a mouse of the tribe of Judah. It wasn't a little squirrel. The Bible calls him a lion of the tribe of Judah. And he says the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of Christ now lives on the inside of me. So when I wear this shirt that has this lion roaring, you know what it symbolizes to me? I got that same Lion of Judah roaring on the inside of me. The power of Christ in me. So when I wave my little finger, not to me, you don't devil. All the devil sees is some little pipsqueak, curly-headed, losing their hair guy, pointing at him, going, me, 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 me. All they hear is the roar of the Lion of Judah inside me to overcome every bit of darkness. Not to me, you don't devil. Because the greater one lives on the inside of me. The greater one. So take up your truth of who you are in Christ, what the Word says about you. Take up the fact that you have been made in right standing with God. Take away all the shame and guilt out of your life. It doesn't need to be a part of your life anymore because God has been good and He loves you regardless. And He's made you to be who He's called.
Take up your truth. Take the good news of the gospel of some peace in your own life. And take up the fact that you've been saved by grace. I had a guy text me this morning and had that scripture that says, God, renew the joy of my salvation. Renew the fact that I've been made a child of God. And I've been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. And to have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Jesus. You don't have to be bound anymore. It is time to get rid of your old manager that's told you how to live, told you what you can't do. And let me just say this. Let me just make sure we're not on some kind of extreme prosperity message. Because listen, for what purpose? Because I am called in this world to push forward the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I am called to show forth the glory of God in my life by allowing Him to live through me. That means I am unashamedly, unhindered to love other people regardless. Because I've been loved regardless. I can have actually the anointing of God. And Eric said it so well this morning. This is not just for us. God is raising up an army of people that look like Him, act like Him, to show forth the praises of His glorious might in you. And when you do, when you get delivered, when that deliverance comes in the natural and you see it, not by faith anymore, but by your own sight, and you're living it out, and you say, I used to be bound in this, but now I've been set free. You can go for it and set other people free. I remember in my addiction, I said, devil, I was still in it. I said, you rue the day you ever mess with me. You ever mess with me. Because when I'm free, not if, but when I'm free, I'm going to see so many other people set free. You'll wish you never had messed with me. That's not me. That's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah speaking out of me. Amen. Let's all stand together. Come on, let's stand together, victorious ones.